Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. And we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Appreciate you being here. And while you're looking for Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to remind you that we still have some Bible reading schedules out here. And I would really encourage you to take one of these. And aside, we're going to read the Bible through this year. Listen, we hear bits and pieces, but context is very, very important. Any text taken out of context becomes a pretext. We get ourselves in trouble, and the fact is, because we don't look at the Bible as a whole, we can be easily drawn away, doubtful disputations, vain janglings, all kinds of things, people teaching us things. Well, that sounds about right. Fact is, there was time. I remember when I was in college the first time. I was as a music major. I was right out of high school. I was saved, and I knew it was about. But that's about all I knew. Having grown up in a church that really didn't teach a whole lot of doctrine, a lot of things like that. And we were in a philosophy class in college, and this professor could just take the Word of God and just rip it to shreds. And I knew he wasn't right, but I couldn't tell him why. Didn't have any artillery. And the fact is, we need the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We need to stand. We need to have. I know we need to have the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and so we need all that. But the fact is, you need that Word of God. You need to know it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I watched him strip so many kids, so many young folks, just right out of college, of their faith. It was a secular college, and I knew they weren't going to believe the Bible. I understood that. But there was folks who went in there, and they just stripped those kids of their faith, and they walked out of not knowing what to believe. In fact, they found like, well, whatever truth is right for you, then that's truth. Boy, that's dangerous. I think I've heard that before, where every man does that which is right in their own eyes. Yeah, that's because there was a mess too. A lot of crazy things were going on back in the book of Judges. So what I'm saying is, I'm not going to catch it all. I understand. Next year, do it again. Next year, you do it again. And after a while, it all starts to kind of take shape, starts to coagulate. When I lead somebody to the Lord, one of the things I'm not on yet, am I? Okay. There we go. Sorry about that. There we go. All right. When I lead somebody to the Lord, one of the things I do it after I've given them some assurance of salvation, help them understand, is I tell them they need to get in. The Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all. I said, that's what we do on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Friday night. And when we get together, we get out the Word of God, and we're going to teach you the all things. It's a wonderful thing. In fact, Pastor Nathan talked about in Sunday school this morning. It's a wonderful thing to get saved, but that's just the start. That's not the end. And if you want to see God do something great, you got to get in there and make use of all the goodies he's given you. And so one of the things I do, I said, you come to church and you say, well, I don't understand this. Well, it's kind of like you remember those old Christmas trees where every limb was on its own little branch there, the old artificial ones, and maybe you still have, we had one, and you stick this branch on the stick, you got the base, you got the stick. That's kind of what you get when you get saved. And then you got all these little limbs and they slide into the little holes in the post. Well, the fact is, you come to church, and I'm gonna preach on something that's like hanging one of those limbs on there. And the next few weeks, I'm gonna preach a few other little things. I'm gonna put little twigs on the end of that limb. And so that's a Christmas tree. No, that's not a Christmas tree. But and then you come back on Sunday night, and I'll be working on something over here, and I got a limb over here I'm gonna put on, and then we'll put some more twigs on that. And so here we got this thing. It's even worse than Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. So I don't understand. It's not making sense. Just keep coming, because we're going to keep hanging branches. And we're going to hang branches and put the twigs on there. And after a while, you're going to say, I get it. I see where we're going. It's making sense. That's what we're doing. And you say, well, what happens when you put all the branches on? That's when it really gets good, because that's when you start putting on the ornaments, the joys and the blessings. You stick around long enough, that's when you start seeing your kids grow up and you find your children walking in truth and speaking truth. You see your marriage, you look back and say, you know what, we don't fight like we used to. Now we use sticks. No, we don't fight like we used to. Things are a little different. Kids are, I don't think we have to yell at the kids as much as we used to. I remember the last time I had to spank the kids. Things change.
And so you just have to stick with us. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. Just keep studying it, keep in it, just keep doing it little by little by little by little. There's one by its biblical order, and one's by chronological order, which puts everything kind of in place, kind of mixes it all up where it's supposed to be within the time span. So I encourage you to do that. And I think we still have just a few more of these yet, these date books. Are we having more date books back there, Ms. Carol? They're gone. Oh, too late. You missed it. Well, I got one. If anybody wants one, they can have it. Here it is. You see me after the service, you can have that. All righty. Philippians chapter 3. You there yet? I wasted as much time as I could, so make sure you can find there. If you don't have it by now, just look intelligently at the page you are at. All right, here we go. I'm being silly here. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, a familiar passage. Philippians 3:13. Paul's talking to the church in Philippi, which started after he got arrested. But anyway, it says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now he's going to give us three things, but it's one thing. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, watch this, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, in the old King James Bible, when it means perfect, what it means is to have been matured. You've grown up a little bit. You're not the kid anymore. You've been perfected some. It's kind of like, you can go out and, have you ever been one of those places out in the Midwest? I guess they have some around here. You go to a cave or someplace, a cavern, and at the gift shop they're selling these stones. A lot of times they have these things, looks like stones, but you crack it open, it's crystals inside and all this stuff, you know. And you go out and find a stone and dig it out of the mud and say, well, I know this is a gemstone, but it doesn't look like much because it's covered with mud. Go in, put it underneath the water and wash it off, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, wait, this isn't one of those soapstones that used to come out of the back of our house there. You know, this is not a piece of limestone. This is something different. But then the fact is you start knocking off some chunks, and then you start to polish it. When you start to polish it, you're going to put a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, a lot of friction. It's going to take some time. In fact, each step takes more time. That's the perfecting to make us jewels. God is in. He has begun a good work, and he's trying to do something, and he will, if you let him, do a good work in you to the day of Jesus Christ. So he says, now let us, verse 15, therefore, as many as be perfect, those who are mature in Christ, be thus minded. How minded? Verse 13, count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So those folks who are mature, growing us up, should be thus minded, verse 15 says, and if anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you too. He's going to work on that too. He will reveal even this unto you. Let's pray. Now hang tight with me here this morning. Ready? This is the title. What grown-up Christians do. What grown-up Christians do. You always wanted to be, you know, kids, I want to be a grown-up. But not ready to be a grown-up. Not ready to face the world. And some of us have learned through the school of hard knocks how to face the world. And God wants to teach Christians how to face the world. So I want you to hang tight with me here. What grown-up Christians do. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for having left us here with no instruction, but we can teach us all things whatsoever you have commanded us. And Lord, I want our folks to grow up. We all need to grow. Lord, some of us just got the mud washed off of us, and some of us, the Lord's been knocking some chunks off. And Lord, some of us, he's starting to put us under the pressure and under the heat. And he's trying to polish us. And Lord, sometimes we resist the polishing, and we don't like the heat, we don't like the pressure. But Lord, we know you've got your eye on us, and you've got a goal in mind, and you've got something special in store, a plan for us, a place to put that little jewel where we're going to shine the light of Christ and be what you need us to be to bring others to Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us here this morning. We need your Holy Spirit to move and give us your insight. And Lord, maybe each of us take it one more step closer to being what you've called us to be. I yield to you, Lord, we ask you to move, and we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. We're in the beginning of a new year. Our theme for this year, which will be up by next week, Lord willing, that was last year's theme, is always abounding. Jesus is our hope. You get Jesus in your life, you make sure you have him for sure without a shadow of a doubt. By the way, if you don't know that for sure, we can take care of that before you leave. We're all sinners. Come to the church with the rest of us. Take your halo off. And because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Separated from this world, separated from God for eternity. That's hell. But he didn't leave us there. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. He wants to give us that new life, and you can have that new life. Or else, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says he'll give it to you. But once we're saved, we need to abound. That victorious Christian life. He came to give us life, but not just life, but life more abundantly. God has given us many opportunities, and we need to make good use of them. Some of us have seen God do some great things in our lives, and some have seen a little less. Some have matured through the years as God uses the trials and the testings to develop them. And those people have become more settled, strengthened, established in their faith, as they've had to suffer and endure the threatenings of our adversary, the devil, walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The difference between those that grow up in the Lord and those that remain little ones. So listen to me. The difference between those that grow up in the Lord and those that remain little ones is whether they allow the Lord to work in their lives so that they grow stronger, or they cower back into their little cocoon and hope the metamorphosis may be next year. God's made us a new creation, but we don't make good use of that new regeneration that he gives us often. Things happen, and God allows those things to happen. And sometimes we think that God's just picking on us, or he's forgotten us, or he's fallen off the throne, or he fell asleep. He wasn't watching. Psalm 119:65 says this. You can write it down, and I'll read it for you right now. Psalm 119:65 and a few verses following. It says, "Thou," speaking of the Lord, "thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word," just like you said you would. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." I believe what you say, Lord, and I want you to teach me. I want to grow up. The next verse. "Behold, I was afflicted." Watch it. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Said, "Lord, teach me." So the Lord did. How? Put some trials and some testing in his life. It says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after the affliction, have I kept thy word." Then it says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Why is he saying that? He's reminding himself, I don't like this. But I do know he's good. And I do know that all things still work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't like what he's doing. But I do know who he is. I know who his character is, and I'm not going to fight him. I may not like what's going on. I may not like the fact that he's allowing the adversary to roar. But the fact is, if I keep my eyes on him, turn not to the left or the right, and I keep doing what I'm supposed to do according to God's word, he'll prove himself true. He will. Now watch me. He's not done here. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good." He's reminding himself. "Teach me thy statutes." Okay. Wait a minute, teach you your statutes. Well, watch out here. Verse 69, he's talking about, here is one way God teaches us to trust him and rest in him. He says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with all my heart. They're lying about me. They're coming on me. I don't deserve this, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell them a thing or two. No, he says, I'm going to keep thy statutes, your precepts. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. That's what I'm going to focus on. Doing what I'm supposed to be doing according to the Word of God. I'm being attacked, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Verse 7 says, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in their law. They just think they got it all. They're just so full of self. They're telling me I'm an idiot. They're telling me I'm stupid. They're telling me that I can't do anything. They're telling me they're throwing me away. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to delight in thy law. I know that he's good. And I know that he's trustworthy. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But I know it's true. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Next verse. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He said, teach me your statutes. Okay, I'm going to teach you your statutes. Here it comes. How am I going to teach you to trust the statutes? I'm going to give you something to scare you away from the statutes and see if you stick with them. I'm going to teach you how to live by them, and then you're going to do so by faith. And even when it doesn't make sense to do that, you stay faithful, I will show you that I take care of you no matter what the world is doing to you. Verse 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, what God says is worth more to me than all the riches in the world. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. He says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So God's faithfully working in my life, even if I don't understand it. And in fact, God is working in my life in these difficult situations, difficult circumstances, and in order to teach me to understand. It says, that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74 says, that they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I'm going to be an encouragement to somebody else because I stood my ground. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. I know that you know what you're doing. Doesn't look like it to me. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It doesn't make any sense. It looks like I'm going the wrong direction, but I know something, that your judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He didn't do it to hurt you. He did it because he's loving and he's faithful. I don't like what I have to go through to learn, but I know that God is true and faithful, so that means that whatever God is allowing into my life is there because he is true and faithful, and not because he's forgotten me or that Satan has outmaneuvered him. Now, those that have allowed the Lord to mature them think a certain way. And if we're not willing to think this way, we will continue to think like children. And we will not move to a higher height in our walk with God and even in life itself. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a time when we need to become a man. Ladies, you need to grow up. Men, we need to grow up. You know, it's not unusual to see a little kid cry over this and that because they didn't get their way. But I tell you what, when you see an adult throw a fit because they didn't get their way, there's a problem. You know why? They didn't grow up. This is not the only thing in the world. There's more life than this. Philippians 3:15 in our passage now. You're right there with me now where we were. Philippians 3:15. Look at that verse. Let us therefore, he was talking about brethren when we started in verse 13. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. In other words, the grown-ups. Those who are growing toward completeness. All you folks, all of us who are growing up, be thus minded. And if in anything we be otherwise minded, God will shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, whatever growing up we still need to do, God will do it if we'll stick with him. We know he's righteous. We know he's just. We know he loves us and faithfulness. He afflicts us. So how does a grown-up think? Not real hard. And if we're not here yet, we need to decide it's time to grow up. When our oldest son, Sterling, is back with the children's church this morning, when he was 16 months old, he decided he didn't like diapers. He was 16 months old. He decided he didn't like diapers, and it was time to use the potty. He could hardly talk, but he knew what he was saying. He knew what he was doing, and he trained himself to use the potty when he was 16 months old in about 3 days. Wasn't that about what it was? That was it. Then there was Esther. She was too busy. She was a party waiting to happen, and she was too busy to get into that kind of stuff. But he made a decision. I'm not messing with these diapers anymore. I'm going to use big boy pants. And so he did. We had a little bit of problem, that's the first day or two or three. I don't even know if he ever wet his bed. Maybe once. But he was only 16 months old. He can forget a couple times, you know. But he made a decision. I'm going to be a big boy. And this is what big boys do. Now, I think we've been taught in our society way too often, it's not your fault, and you can't help it. Now, the fact is, we're born sinners. So I was born this way. Yeah, I was born a sinner. But I can make a decision. And when I become a big boy, I need to start thinking like big boys think. Now, the first thing that big boys need to think when they're grown-up Christian, number one, is you need to understand this. No one has arrived. You see, teenagers think they've arrived. And then they get out of high school and they have to get their own job and pay their own bills. And all of a sudden they realize, hey, your basement doesn't look all that bad. They think they arrived, but they haven't arrived yet. If you're grown up, you know you haven't arrived. Listen, I think if I stop learning, I'd die. I want to constantly learn. But the more I learn, the more I know, the more that I know that I don't know. In fact, the more that I've learned over the years, the more how much I realize I don't understand. Now, I was a whole lot smarter when I got out of high school because I knew everything then. But the older I get, by the way, my dad was really stupid when I was in high school. But you know what? The older I got, he became a much wiser man over the years. Hannah has talked about this a couple times here recently. You know, my daughter, she sang here with my wife here a few minutes ago, that, you know, now she has kids and a lot of things, you know, oh, that's why you did that, Mom. I understand. Philippians 3:13 says this. Look at it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not arrived. I don't have it all. I'm not all that in the bag of chips. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I cannot be what I should be on my own. A grown-up Christian has realized he has not attained. God must be working in me and through me. Must. We are not going to be able to work against God, watch me, either in a positive way or a negative way. We think, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Well, maybe God doesn't want you. Listen, God resists the proud. You say, well, I can do this all by myself. Well, you're going to be walking into the wind, a headwind. I'm talking about a hurricane headwind. You feel like you're beating yourself against the wall just trying to live life. Well, maybe you're going in the wrong direction. Maybe we've got to decide we're going to do the way God wants to do. None of us have arrived. Daniel 4:37 says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was some hotshot, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven. He learned. You go back. He put him out the pasture for 7 years. He was eating with the hogs. He was out there with the cows. He says, I extol and honor the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. We're not going to get anywhere we have not arrived. That's number one. Number two. Want to think like a grown-up. Let's act like, let's be, what do grown-ups do? Grown-ups realize we don't have it all together. And by the way, don't try to fool everybody and think you do, because they all know you don't. You look like a bigger fool trying to prove everybody that you know everything. By the way, we'll learn more if we keep our mouth shut. You heard about the guy who went to the ear doctor, and he got some new hearing aids, and he was talking to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, he said, let's do their test. He did a test, and boy, it was really great. And he said, man, he says, you like it? He said, yeah, they're working wonderful. Well, I bet your family is so pleased. He said, well, I haven't told them yet. Changed my will 3 times. You learn a lot of things just listening. And sometimes we think we have it all. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. All I'm saying is, we have not arrived. Number two. Ready? Forget. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Let me deal with that word one here real quick. Forgetting those things that are behind. This one thing, this is a process that includes several things. Only doing one of these steps will not accomplish what we need. Just forgetting what is behind us without pressing toward a mark of what's before us in God's high calling, just forgetting means we're going to do the same stupid thing over again. If you don't learn from history, then you're bound to do it all over again. And they say one thing we've learned in history is that we don't learn from history. We just keep doing the same old thing and expect there to be a different outcome, which of course is insanity. But we got one thing we need to do. First of all, he says, forget those things which are behind. Now, folks, I'm gonna say some things, but let me just say this. Don't raise your hand. How many people have done something stupid that you were embarrassed about? Don't raise your hand. Because I don't want to raise my hand. We all have. Folks, when I work with music people, and they'll say, well, if I get up there, I'll make a mistake. Well, I sang my first solo when I was 4 and started singing in churches when I was 12. If there's a mistake to be made, I have made it. If there's a flub to make in front of everybody, the whole general public, I've done it. If there's any way to look stupid, you look like, sometimes I feel like you look up in the word dictionary, you find failure, and you see Sterling Walsh's face right there. Sometimes you feel that way. But you know what? If I stay there, then I've not only did it defeat me that day, but it defeats me for the rest of my life. That's just stupid. I'm sorry, just stupid. You can't go back and change. You can't change things that happened to you that were unfortunate. You can't change the fact that you've lost a loved one. We've got some folks in here who are dealing with some heavy things. Lost loved ones this year. Some right about this time of the year. There's things going on that just hurt, and I understand that. But the fact is, God in His faithfulness has afflicted us. I don't understand. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Well, I don't want to let go. Let go and hang on to this. God's good. God's been good in my life. Listen, He has done exactly what He needs to do to make a difference in our life. And listen, we're not God. We don't understand it. And we have no right judging Him on what He's been doing. I haven't arrived, and neither have you arrived. So what do you do with it? Learn from the past and forget about it and move on. That word forget literally means, watch, to lose out of mind. To lose out of mind. Dr. Curtis Hudson was a great preacher. Some of you know, you recognize the name. And he says, the older you get, you kind of lose this, you lose that. But what I miss the most is my mind. That's what I always used to say. I miss my mind the most. And the older I get, the more things I lose out of my mind. I've had folks, to be honest with you, I've never felt like I have a good memory. My son, he just quotes things. And I have always never felt like I have a good memory. And that's why I put it all down. We'd be here forever if I didn't put it all down. But I put it all down. I want to make sure I got my thoughts, because I'll forget what I was trying to say. I'll get lost. We need to forget. I have found that actually sometimes it's good to forget. I've had people say, you know, I said so-and-so and so-and-so to you last week or something. I'm so sorry. I've already forgotten. I don't know. It's gone. But I tell you one thing I don't do. I don't let it come in here and take a hold. When somebody says something unkind, when somebody says something that's divisive, or derogatory, or whatever it is. You know what it does? It just, whoosh. Don't let it stick. You don't need to let it stick. Get rid of it. Let it go. Pass on. Forget those things which are behind. There are some things. Now watch me now. Let the old things in life slip out of your mind. Let them slip out. Don't hang on to them. Allow yourself to forget. Let me say a couple of things here. Stop reminding yourself. We sit and sulk over things that somebody said. I can't believe they said. Well, they said, you know what they said? And then we rehearse it with everybody else. You know what we're doing? We're just digging that down deeper and deeper and deeper in our heart. It's going to be harder and harder to get over that thing and forget it. It might be written down, but write it down in invisible ink. It's going to disappear. Don't put it in stone. Some of us have old stony hearts, and we let somebody chip away at that thing, and it gets in there, and it won't go anywhere. Stop harboring these memories. That doesn't mean you have to forget all the good things. But what was Paul saying? He used to persecute Christians. You know what he's saying? Listen, I have no right. I have no right to be used of God. Much less have seen the things that I've seen, things that are unlawful for man to say. He said, I've seen things. I was in heaven. I was in the third heaven. I saw things. I have no right. In fact, God put a little thorn in the flesh to keep me humble so that I can keep using me, because I've seen revelations that nobody else have seen. I have no right. But the fact is, if he said, well, I can't do anything. Well, I've done so, I'm shot. God can't use me anymore. And you know what? Because I did this and this and this and this and this and this and this. He said, forget it! Because if I stay there, he'll never do anything. Don't soak in the past. Some people just be, what? Don't allow it to become any more embedded in your memory and in your life. Some people just won't let go of the past. We cannot live in the past. We cannot change the past. And hang on, though God may use the past to give us a future, Don't really let the past be your identity. Don't let it become your identity. Now, this is going to be hard. Some of you might get mad at me about this, but sometimes a loved one dies. Now, there's nothing wrong with using that to learn from it and so forth, and that's good. But they become the one whose husband died. That's who they are. They're the guy whose wife died. Or the person whose child died. I'm not saying it's light of it. I'm not saying. But don't live there. I'm not saying you can't use it, but don't live there. I'm the one who's the divorcee. I'm the one whose husband ran out on her. I'm the one. Your identity is with Christ. Your identity is not with that awful thing that happened in your life. Don't make that your identity. Paul mentioned, yeah, I'm the one that persecuted Christ, but Christians, but he didn't live there. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He says, listen, forget those things which are behind. Let me say this. It says forget. Watch this. Forget the triumphs. Forget the triumphs. Now, you say, well, I don't want to forget them all. I understand. I do. But he says, don't live there. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have, verse 13, have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. He said, we need to forget that. Don't get prideful about where we came from. Paul says here in chapter 3, verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more than you do. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the Pharisee, of the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the Christians, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He said, listen, I thought I was some hot shot. But I got to forget that stuff. Don't get prideful about what we think we can do. He says in verse 6, it's concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? I really thought it was a hot shot. Those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is in the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. Now wait a minute. Proverbs 27 says, as a finding pot for silver and a furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. We get praise, we find out what we really are. If your head gets real big when you're praised, all that means is you're full of hot air. Not a whole lot of substance, just a lot of air. Proverbs 25, 27 says, it's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. If you keep reminding yourself of your triumphs, you will start trusting in yourself and become prideful, and God resists the proud. That's a good thing. I know. And we all know what happened. Let's move on. Let's just let it drop. It's there. We know it's all there. Everybody knows there, but we need to let it drop, because if we don't, we're going to hold his spirit. Before long, we're going to see destruction. Forget the tragedies, though, also. Forget the triumphs. Forget the tragedies. The tragedies and the failures of the past. Don't get discouraged about what we have not been able to do. John writes that all our failures are prayer failures. We have learned that in whatever state we're supposed to be in, Paul says, therewith to be content. He said in Philippians 4:13, just over the page here, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God can move on, and we should move on. He casts our sins far, the east is from the west. Psalm 103 says he knows we're just dust. Micah 7:19 says he will turn again, he will have compassion on us, he will subdue our iniquities to get rid of our sin, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. What? Forget the hurts of the past. Oh, they'll eat you alive. Forget the losses of the past. Do not allow the past to define who you are, and even worse, determine your future. Forget your former goals. Goals we had that were just to please us and satisfy ourselves. The goals we had to reach position and power. We should put them aside and count them but lost. That's what Paul says in verse 7. Old things are passed away, so let old things be forgotten. If we focus on the failures, we may think that even God is helpless and hopeless. But nothing is impossible with God. I got to remember that I have not arrived. Two, I got to forget. Three, I need to reach. I need to reach. Philippians 3:13 says, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Those things that are ahead of us. Those things that are yet to come. We cannot relive 2016. We can't even relive the morning of January 1st, 2017. Well, I blew it. Welcome to the club. Watch this. The word reach means to stretch, to extend yourself, to cast yourself, to stretch once yourself into areas you've never gone before. I'm a loser, my dad was a loser, my granddad was a loser, my great-granddad was a loser, we're just a bunch of losers. I'm going to be a loser. As long as you're remembering all that, you're right. This is not out of the Bible, but probably in some good book it says this is the first day of the rest of your life. And only what's done for Christ will last. We need to forget about those things. I don't have to be what I have been. And God says, I'll help you be something new. We got to reach. We got to stretch. Do not allow yourself to be locked in or boxed in to the old life, the old failures, the old disappointments. Some folks are scared of the unknown, even if the unknown has to be better. It has to be better than the old ways. But they're scared of it because it's new. We need to step out in faith and claim God's promises. Then do not waver, but wait on the Lord to deliver. In our passage we read there in Psalm 119, says, I don't understand it. God's afflicted me, but I know he's good. I don't understand it. I don't like it, but he's doing it right. In faithfulness, he's afflicted me. Now I keep his statutes. Now I found out that actually I'm in better shape because I went through the fire. We need to step out in faith and claim God's promises. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't go out here doing something stupid. Don't go out here and do your own. If he hasn't told you what to do, then just stay where you are. Psalm 37:28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They're preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Now remember that. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Keep doing what God's told you to do. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You'll see it. Just wait on me. You do what you're supposed to do. You'll end up here, and they'll end up someplace else. You will know it. Isaiah 40, you know this, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants us to reach out in faith and ride the winds of His provision. It can be done because it's God that does it. All things have become new. So let's reach forth to them and press toward the mark of the high calling of God. First, I've got to believe that I have not arrived. Second, I've got to forget those things which are behind, even those things that makes me trust in myself, those victories, the triumphs and the tragedies. Let's not live there. Let's not live on those things. Don't live on our laurels. Don't live on our losses. We need to live for today. Today, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't try to live tomorrow in today's grace. Take care of today. Do what I'm supposed to do today. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking. That's all He wants us. Give us this day our daily bread. Number four, press for a higher calling. 2 Peter chapter 1 says He has not called us to corruption, but He's called us to glory and virtue. God has some good things. Well, I don't know what they are. No, but you know that they're glory and virtue. And you know how you're going to get there? By doing what He's told us to do. Waiting on the Lord. Just do what you're supposed to do and wait on Him. Bring it about. Philippians 3:14. Look what he says here. Why don't we go back to 13? Says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press toward the mark. That word press means to pursue it. To get on its case. To actually persecute. I remember when I was a kid in school, there were some kids, you know, they would go, you know, just sit there and pick on you. It's so-and-so, someone's picking on me, he's touching me. Don't touch him. Okay. Miss so-and-so, he's not touching me. He's not touching me. Or, you know, you're just persecuting. If I can't touch him, then I'll just pretend I'm persecuting him. And that's persecution enough. Well, you know what? God says, I've got a plan for you. And I want you to pursue it to almost you think you're bothering God and persecuting Him over it. He likes that. Now, you're supposed to be respectful and all that, but, I mean, don't let go. Don't let up. Even when the world says it's foolishness, it's not going to get you anywhere. Don't let up. He says, I press toward. That word press toward together means to hunt it down like an animal. You know how guys around here, they'll shoot some deer and they'll run, they'll have to walk 14 miles to find that thing because you've got to follow the trail of blood, you know, to get there. But I can let it go, daggone, that's going to go in the freezer. Besides, he was a 10-pointer. He's going to look real good on the basement wall. And we pursue it and pursue it and pursue it. He says, that's what we're supposed to do with the high calling of God. God, listen, forget that mess. Forget. We've all been sinners. We're lost. We're all headed for hell. Christ redeemed us. He gives us a new life. And He says, I've got something big. Well, I did this. Forget that stuff. Come on with me. God's got something bigger than you can even imagine in your life. We're going to pursue it. I'm going to press toward the mark, that concealed goal, that elusive prey. I don't know, but He's out there. It's like if some people, have you ever heard some of these stories with guys say, you know, there's a white deer? I said, I know he's out there. We're going to find him. Or Sasquatch. No, I mean, he's out there somewhere, and I'm going to find him, going to get him. One of these years, I'm going to have that. We're going to find that white deer. He says, it might be elusive. I don't know where it is, but he says, I'm going to press toward the mark, the elusive prey of that prize, the award. of the high calling of God. He says there's a top offer. God has called us to glory and virtue, and I want it. And I'm not letting up until I get it. And I'm not going to let this past stop me. God has great things planned for us, and we need to pursue it and hunt it down like an animal. And if we're going to pursue something, that something must be our focus. We cannot pursue one thing and maintain a focus on something else. We will lose sight of that one thing we were pursuing and never attain it. So we've got to forget this stuff. If we don't forget this stuff, we won't keep focus on that high prize. We should have the mind of Christ. Proverbs 2:1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, of any comfort or love, any fellowship of, this is chapter 2, verse 1, of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on himself, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He came in when you got saved. The problem is that many are not making use of it. They're concentrating on the old. God's done with that. The mind of Christ focuses on different things than the mind of the flesh focuses on. We must allow ourselves to get past the old focus. Zero in on the point of focus given to us by the Lord and His Word. We need to forget the old, allow God to make us new. We think we allow the old to slip away, but then, you know, that. Let me say it again. We think if we let the old slip away, we've lost. But Paul said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. That's a loss. I cannot change the losses. I can see that I don't have any more or keep them to a minimum. Count all things. Verse 15, I'm all done. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. He said, you folks that are growing up here, be thus minded. This is how you have to think. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, this is what grown-up Christians do. Folks, we cannot live in the past. We can learn from the past. But don't wallow in the past. If you wallow in the past, you have no future. You really just basically take the past and becomes your future. But I don't like my past. Well, then don't take it with you. Yeah. Now, there are a lot of people, religious people, who try to make you take that with you. But listen, we're new creations in Christ. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am very grateful. Man makes religion difficult. God doesn't. Now, I may lose some credibility or there may be some things I can't do because of what I've done in the past. I get drunk and in an accident and lose a leg or lose my fingers, there's probably some things I'm not going to do. But doesn't mean there's not other things I can do. Forget the past. Let it go. Reach forth. Allow God to stretch you into maturity, trusting God to complete the good work that He has begun. And then do what? Press toward a mark. Hunt it down like a dog. Press toward the mark. Pursue the great things God has for us. This is what grown-up Christians do. No one can make this choice for you. You must grow up. Trust God. Step out on faith. And don't look back. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Lord, I want our folks to rise up in the arms of faith. So many of us, if we're not careful, we soon get lost in the junk, the mess, the sorrows, the regrets of the past. We can never do what we need to do because we're lost there. Lord, I'm asking you to do a work in the hearts of our folks. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano's going to play. Lord's spoken to your heart. Let's make some decisions. If we don't make some decisions, we'll be the same place we were this time last year. We'll be the same place we were this time last year. You know what we said last year? Well, this year's going to be different because I'm going to. And then old Satan brought a bunch of stuff up in your mind. He said, well, that'll never happen. And you know that can't work. And that's not like this. And this will never change. Forget the mess. You get your focus on what God has a plan. He has a plan of grace, truth.